Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 4 this morning. And it says, "Ye have seen what I did do unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." I want to speak this morning on a very interesting portion of Scripture, and we're going to look at a number of Scriptures today. But I want to speak to you on this message this morning entitled, "What Are You Missing?" What are you missing? And you'll understand this as we go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the water that we've received throughout the week, the rain, the snows. Thank you for giving us the nutrients into our ground. But Lord, now it's time for you to meet with us and water our souls and cause us to grow from the things that we learn from your word. So bless the preaching this morning. Open our hearts and minds to it. Holy Spirit, meet with us, please, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Bible times, there's a great deal said about eagles. Think of all the scriptures that there are that deal with eagles. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Psalm 91:4 says, "He will cover thee with his feathers under his wings." He's talking about wings of eagles. "Thou shalt trust." Isaiah 17 and verse number 3 says that the eagle is a large bird. In 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 23, it says that it's a swift bird, which it is. The Bible says that the eagle sees great distances in Job chapter 39 and verse 27 through 30. The Bible says that he builds his nest on lofty rocks in Jeremiah chapter 49 and verse 16. Then there's Psalm 103 verse 5. "So that the youth is renewed like the eagles." I think the most precious of the Bible verses is found in Deuteronomy on eagles, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them up, beareth them on her wings." Here in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11, we find a picture that God describes for us of how an eaglet learns to fly or gets out of the nest. Here, if you will, there's the father eagle in the nest, because the father eagle stays with the mother eagle, and the baby eagle is hatched, and now you have the father, the son, and the mother. They're all there in their nest in the high rocks in the cliffs. The mother eagle is on one side, and between the dad is on the other side, and in between is where the eaglets stay. Yet the eaglet has not learned yet to fly. The eagles then have two responsibilities to their little eaglet, and that's the one is the mother hovers over or broods over the little eaglet for a season. The father goes out and hunts. The mother takes care of the eagle, brings the food back. She gives the food to the eaglet. Then comes a time, or the second stage of the eaglet's life, where it needs to learn to fly. Every eagle needs to fly. Every eagle wants to fly. I find it kind of funny. I have a 10-month-old granddaughter, and she is walking. She started walking in her late 9th month. And she does not want to crawl. Once she started the walking, getting her balance, she won't crawl anymore. She falls down, she gets right back up, and now she's trying to learn how to run so she can keep up with everybody. She's the cutest little thing. She barely can stand, it seems like. She's got the littlest legs. But there's something in every human that makes us want to walk. And there's something in every eaglet and every eagle that makes them want to fly. So, how does this happen? Well, there comes a time in the life where he needs to learn to fly. So the mother stirs up the nest. That stirring up the nest is the mother, it means that she's making the nest uncomfortable. Now, when the eaglet was getting ready, the egg was in the nest, the mother was taking and making the nest more and more comfortable with more and more feathers and things, soft things, and filling up the nest. But that's no longer the position she's in. She wants to make the eaglet uncomfortable. She wants to make the eaglet go out on its own. So she starts taking all the fluffy stuff out of the nest. She starts making the nest undesirable for that. The eaglet turns over in the nest, and it's hard, and then there's little holes, and then over time what happens is that she removes the safety devices that the eaglet has around it, and the eaglet will fall out of the nest. As the eaglet falls out of the nest, it starts to flap its little wings trying to fly, but it's not quite ready yet. And as it plunges towards the abyss, the father eagle now takes over and flies out of his nest, swoop down underneath the eaglet, and before the eaglet can touch the ground, he swoops down and catches the eaglet on his wings and brings him back to the nest. Now the mother takes and starts to do her job again. She stirs up the nest some more. Then she takes the eaglet up into the air on her wings, and she flies and then drops the eaglet off of her back. And the eaglet, again, trying to fly, flaps its wings and tries to gain control and tries to fly. And the dad, again, leaves the nest and swoops underneath the little eaglet and catches the eaglet as he falls. This is done over and over and over again until the eaglet learns to fly with his mom and his dad. Why? Because the eagle must learn to fly. He must learn to have some self-reliance. He must grow up. He has to take on personal responsibilities that an older eagle takes on. That little eaglet can never become an eagle till he learns to fly, and then he can learn to kill and hunt and take and get food and eat and then grow and then become an eagle of its own. Once the eagle comes to the place where it can fly on his own, over a very short time, the eagle takes off and completely leaves the nest of the father and mother. The eaglet would never see the power of his father to rescue him when he's plunging if he never learned to fly. He can never understand the compassion of his mother and the comfort that his mother gives if the mother never made the nest uncomfortable. So here we can see some things that applies to even us, or Israel here. Israel was with Egypt, and they came out, and God put them on eagle's wings, and he carried them to where they needed to be. But now God's asking them in Deuteronomy chapter 19, or I'm sorry, in Exodus chapter 19, to stand on their own. He's saying, will you do what I'm asking you to do? Will you become my people? He says, now, therefore, in verse 5, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a particular treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called the elders of the people in verse number 7 and laid their faces, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They would have never known the power of God unless they had seen the power of God. When God delivered them from the Egyptians, when he did all the miracles, when he parted the Red Sea, when he got them to the other side, they saw the power of God. Yet they would have never seen the power of God unless they were a little bit in danger. The Egyptians followed them down to the brink of the water. And they didn't know what to do, so they called upon the Lord, and the Lord said, I'll take care of you. So the Lord parts the Red Sea, and they cross over on dry ground, the Bible says. And then he lifts up his pillar of fire and pillar of smoke, and the Egyptians start to come after them after the Israel is completely on the other side, and the Lord brings the waters back together and kills the Egyptian army that's pursuing them. Unless God had lifted them up on eagle's wings and brought them out of Egypt, they would have never seen the power of deliverance from the Heavenly Father. Sometimes we've got to go through hard times in life. We don't always understand them. We don't always like them. But those hard times are times that God's causing us to learn to fly. He's causing us to learn that we can depend on Him through difficulties, through heartaches, through trials, through tribulations. Years ago, I think it was 1993 or approximately there, I was reading a college newspaper. And I read the following article. And here's what it says, and I enjoyed it, and I want to share that with you. While walking through the forest one day, a man found a young eagle who had fallen out of its nest. And he took it home and put it in his barnyard, where soon it learned to eat and behave like the chickens. One day, a naturalist passed by the farm and asked why it was that the king of birds should be confined to live in a barnyard with the chickens. The farmer replied that since he had given it chicken feed and it trained itself to be a chicken, then it's never learned to fly. Did you clip his wings? Asked the naturalist. He said, no, I've never clipped his wings. He could fly if he wanted to. He said, well, he needs to fly, the naturalist said. He still has a heart of an eagle, replied the naturalist. And it can surely be taught to fly. He lifted the eagle towards the sky, and the eagle, however, was confused. He didn't know who this guy was, and seeing the chicken eating the feed on the ground, he jumped off the man's arm and went down and ate the chicken feed on the ground with the chickens. The naturalist took the bird again to the roof of the house and tried the same method as before. But the eagle was afraid and jumped down once more and ate the chicken feed. Finally, the naturalist took the eagle out to a high mountain and there held the king of birds high above him and encouraged him to fly again. The eagle looked down at the earth beneath and looked up to the sky above. Then the naturalist lifted him straight towards the sun, and it happened that the eagle began to tremble. Slowly he stretched out his wings, and with a mighty cry, soared into the heavens. The eagle didn't know what he was missing when he ran down in the barnyard eating the chicken feed. He didn't know that he could fly amongst the most revered birds in all the animal kingdom. Yet he had stuck to the ground trying to eat the bird seed or the chicken feed. No eagle, ladies and gentlemen, is happy unless he's flying. Every one of God's children ought to enjoy the same joy. And that's the joy of depending on God and soaring with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yet we can never know the joy of flying with our Lord unless we understand His ability to rescue us when we're in danger, when we're in trouble. One of our verses we read today said this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God wants us to be as one of the eagles. Yet in our story that we read, we saw that the eagle was happy to eat the bird seed or the chicken feed. He didn't understand what he was missing. There are many Christians today, we don't understand what we're missing. We don't understand that God has so much more for us than this world can provide. It's interesting, Israel didn't seem to understand that either. In Israel, here in our reading today, in Exodus chapter 19, they say, what the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Over and over again, God asked Israel if they would be willing to follow him, and they said that they would, but then they were satisfied as they traveled with what they didn't have. What do you mean by that, preacher? They were satisfied to wander around in the wilderness. They were satisfied to eat manna in the wilderness. They were satisfied to drink water out of a rock. When they had the opportunity to go into the promised land, and the 12 spies went out and 10 brought back evil reports, yet even though they brought fruit from the land that everyone could see and how large it was and how wonderful it was, they would not follow Moses and Aaron and Caleb and Joshua. They said, no, we're afraid to go. We're going to, the evil report, we're going to believe that instead. Yet they had seen what God had done. They saw how God had delivered them from the Egyptians, yet they were afraid to go into the promised land as God had called them to do or told them to do. They were afraid God couldn't take care of them, yet God gave them manna. God gave them quail. God gave them water. But they were afraid. And that's how many of us are. We don't know what we're missing. Israel never understood what they were missing. They didn't understand that God was going to give them all of that, and then all that would be theirs. They were just happy and contented not to, and they murmured and griped and complained, and every time he turned around, they were whispering under their breath something about Moses. That's what murmuring means. It means to whisper under your breath or to say something very faintly to be heard. We're good at that as people. And they murmured against the Lord over and over again. I wonder how many of us in our life were missing the power that God has for us. We're missing being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We're missing having the joys of knowing that God answers and hears our prayers. We miss all the great opportunities that God gives us to serve Him because we're afraid. I wonder how many people are on their way to hell today because so many Christians are too afraid to give a witness or a testimony. Too afraid to give out the gospel message. Yet it's the same gospel message that saved you and me. God wants to make us as one of His eagles in the air. Flapping our great eagle wingspan. And flying with Him and soaring. So we can focus on the things of God instead of the things of the world. Yet, most of the time we focus on the things of the world like that eagle was focusing on the bird seed. It was there, it was easy, and I just took it. Didn't even know what I had the ability to do. Most of the time, we can only see the here and now. Like the eagle saw the bird seed. Yet God wants us to draw closer to Him and receive strength from Him. And ultimately, His blessings. He wants us to learn to fly with Him. He wants us to let go of the cares of this world and make room for God's blessings. What is it that's so important in this world that causes us to hold back from allowing God to have everything in our life? What's the bird seed in our life today that causes us to forget what God has for us and that concentrate on what we have here and not even focusing on what God has for us? What is it that we sometimes hold so tightly in our hands that God cannot fulfill the blessings that He has for us? I don't know. I think it's different for each one of us. I think all of us have the ability to let God cause us to soar. So let me give you some observations and we're done. Number one, we need to let God have His way in our life. We need to let God have His way in our life. God wants the eagle to fly. So He gave him a way in which to learn to fly. In the little story we read, we saw that the eagle had fallen out of his nest and never learned to fly. The farmer put him there with the chickens. He learned to be a chicken when he could have been an eagle. And finally, he learns the quality of being an eagle. and soaring into the higher heights. And that's what God wants for you and I. But we need to let go. We need to let go, as that eagle had to let go of the security of the bird seed that was there, to fly and learn to hunt and catch for himself. I don't know what God has for anyone or what the call is God has for anyone. But I know this. God has all sorts of things planned if we just let go of the security blankets that we make ourselves. For some people, it's money. For some people, it's houses. For some people, it's property. For some people, it's a bank account. For some people, it's a particular place, a location that I can't give up. So for some people, it's people I can't give up. But I know this, God will take care of us if we will just serve Him. I remember years ago, my son came to me and said, "Daddy, I'm going to be a missionary." And I said, "That's wonderful. How do you know?" He said, "Well, I believe God's called me." I said, "Where? Show me in His Word where He called you." And he couldn't find a place. I said, "When you find something in the Word of God that you know God called you, then come back." Oh, he came back another time and gave me a bogus verse just to get me off his back later on. And I said, "Doesn't sound like that's what he's talking about." So he went back and he kept studying Scripture and praying. A few years later, he came back to me and said, "Dad, I know God called me to be a missionary, and let me show you how I know from the Word of God." Because God doesn't do anything outside of His Word. And He showed me what He believed was the verses that God called him to be a preacher and a missionary over. And I said, "Great, son." He started another church in the Philippines a year ago. On their anniversary, they fed 4,000 people. They had 4,000 people. 5,000 people. Today he called me they texted me and said they had 25 visitors in their service, baptized 16, I think is what he said. 16 people walked the aisles of the church there in the Philippines. He doesn't have a lot of money. I know he doesn't. He doesn't have all the support that he needs. He doesn't have support that a lot of missionaries have. But he's being faithful to what God has called him to do. He knows what God has called him to do. He left his home. He left his family. His wife left her family. They left the security of the United States of America. And I'm not too sure how secure we are anymore. But they left the security of the United States of America. They take their children to a foreign country. They live in that foreign country as the people of that country live. And by faith, they trust God week after week and day after day. By faith, they've been building some buildings there. By faith, God has provided for them. And it's always amazing how He'll write to me and say, "Dad, I can't tell you what a close call it was, but God was there just on time." And God's timing is always perfect. It reminded me of the little eagle story of how the eagle learns to fly and how he falls out the nest and how he's falling and falling and falling. And I imagine that he thinks he's going to die until Dad swoops down underneath him, the dad eagle, and catches him on his wings. And they soar again into new heights. That's exactly what God wants for you and me. But we got to let go. We could never see the blessings of God in our life till we let go of what we have and allow God to be God and we be His servants. My son cannot see the blessings if he never went to the Philippines. He'd never seen the blessings that God had on his life if he would have stayed home. Believe me, I would have done everything in my power to help him stay home if I didn't think he was called. But I knew God called him. My wife knew God called him. His wife knew God called him. He knew God called him. And he's doing exactly what God wants him to do. There's story after story after story of people over the history of the New Testament church that can tell you the same thing. That doesn't mean there doesn't come trial and tribulation. It doesn't mean there's not heartache. What that means is we have to let go and let God. And as we go through these trials, when we go through this tribulation, when we go through these heartaches, we just need to trust Him with it and get through to the other side. Number one, We need to let go and let God. Number two, we need to walk by faith. Walk by faith. Watching my granddaughter learn how to walk recently, it reminded me how many times in my life I've quit walking by faith because I fall on my face. Over and over again, she would take one or two steps and fall down. One or two steps and fall down. Then she'd crawl for hours, maybe even days before she'd try it again. And then she'd fall down and go back to crawling. But once she decided that it was time to walk, she hasn't quit. And it's the cutest little thing to watch her walk. She wobbles sometimes. Sometimes she looks like she's a drunk. And she'll lose her balance and spin around in a circle and catch her balance and keep on going or fall right down. Sometimes she bumps her head. The other day, she bumped her nose and cut her nose on a table. One of our children, the little children's tables we have for our grandchildren in the house. And her nose hit it right in the right spot and it cut her nose. And she cried, but you know what she did? She went right back to walking. And that's what we need to do, is walk by faith. And it reminded me how many times I've stumbled and fallen. And how many times I've messed up. And how many times I started out and I was okay. And then a trial or a tribulation came, or fear came, and I stopped. And then I quit walking. I went back to doing what I felt more secure in. But God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to depend on Him. That's why He sent the spies to the promised land. He wanted the report to come back. He wanted them to know what they were getting into. But He wanted them to know that He would take care of them. Not that they should fear, but they should walk by faith to the promised land that God had prepared for them. That's what He wants for you and for me. He wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. It's easy to walk by sight. In other words, it's easy to say, okay, I'm going to do this here because I know I can depend on this. I'm going to keep this job here and I'm not going to go to the ministry. I'm going to take this job here and keep this job here because the ministry is unknown. But this job gives me a check. But can I be honest with you? No job is secure. No job is secure. One day a company's flying high. I know the company right now in this area. An oil company, in fact. It's a rig company that drills for oil, for the oil companies. But it's a rig company. And this rig company, oh, they were flying high and they were doing great. They didn't take care of things like they should have. And they ran into financial trouble. And when the gas prices started to go down a little bit, the oil companies weren't willing to pay them as much money to dig the wells or drill the wells. And they ran into trouble. And people that were making money hand over fist now were having to be laid off. There's no job that's secure. There's no job you're never going to lose. There's no job that you can say, well, I'll always have this job. There's nothing that we can do in life that's guaranteed. Everything's by faith. And once we learn that, then we can start to walk in other ways by faith. The more I learn to walk by faith and trust in God, the better off I am. One of the reasons that I encourage everybody to read their Bible through from cover to cover is because over and over again, we see where God comes and takes care of and helps His people in a time of need. No matter whether it's needing physical care or it's a family member or a heartache or heartbreak of any kind, whatever the issue is, God is there to take care of us. I was reading this morning in my Bible, in the book of Numbers, how that Balaam was asked by Barak to curse the children of Israel. How he was afraid that the king of Moab was afraid of the Israelites and called on him to curse And then I read about how that when the king asked Balaam to come with him, he said, I got to go ask the Lord. So he went and asked the Lord, and the Lord finally said the second time, if they come again, then you can go. So first thing in the morning, before they ever get there, he loads up his mule, his ass, as the Bible says. He loads them up and he takes off. And God gets mad because they didn't come and ask him to go. He suddenly takes off on his own. So he takes out his sword and he goes to meet him, a sword of fire, and he goes out to meet him. And his animal sees it, but he doesn't see anything. And his animal three times tries to save him, but he doesn't see anything. Because he's going after what he thinks he can get from the world rather than doing exactly what God had commanded him to do and walk by faith. Balaam gets mad at his mule or his ass every time he goes out of the way, and he starts to beat him three different times. He beats him. And finally the Lord lets the animal talk. I don't know about you, but suddenly one of my dogs looked up at me and started speaking to me in English, I would think I would freak out, wouldn't you, rather than have a conversation with them. What in the world? Yet, Balaam talks to him and says, I'll beat you because you did this to me. And his ass looks at him and says, when have I ever mistreated you? I was trying to protect you. The animal was able to see what the man couldn't see. Because the man was not looking at the things that God wants us to look at. So we need to walk by faith, not by sight. I said that we need to let go and let God. I said, number two, we need to walk by faith, not by sight. And number three, we need to start right away. We need to not put it off another day, but we need to start today. What is it that's causing you and I to hang on to things today? What is it that we're so focused on we can't receive all the full blessings that God intends for us? Is there something in your life that's holding you hold so tight that God can't fulfill His total blessing in your life? We just need to let Him have whatever that is today. Spend time with Christ today and give it over to whatever that is to Him today. And allow Him to open our life and our hearts to Him and His will for our life. And let Him pour out His blessing on our life, the rest of our life. The Israelites became so hard-headed that when they had the opportunity to go into the promised land, God said, and they refused. God said, okay, you'll wander around this wilderness for 40 years, and all of you from the age 21 and above, who've made this decision, you'll die out in the wilderness. Well, they got mad. They got mad at God for their action, and they wanted to go the next day. Oh, yes, they mourned, and they said, we're sorry, but we're going to go in the next day, and we're going to do this ourselves. And Moses said, I'm sorry, but God already said you can't go into the promised land. If you go now, you're going to get in a battle, you're going to suffer and die. And over again, we see the rest of the life of Israel in the wilderness. They're constantly rebelling against God. They're constantly rebelling against Moses. They're constantly going their own way. And they're constantly in trouble for it. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we bring a lot of our own trouble on ourselves because we just won't let God have His way in our heart and our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what we've learned today.